our sins, we pray.
Forgive our sins.
Forgive our sins, we pray.
Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. How many want the King of Glory to come in here tonight? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your many graces over our lives. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for giving us eyes to see this day, ears to even listen to this. Be thou glorified, Father, in the name of Jesus. We receive your teaching ministry this day. We ask that your spirits be here to teach, to enlighten, to transform, to grant revelation and understanding in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to be here once again, speaking to us. I believe we're blessed by last week's teaching. I was blessed. I believe you were blessed too. We discussed the name of Jesus and the place this has in prayer. And we explained that the name Jesus would as well be pronounced as Joshua. And nobody will pray in the name of Joshua, you know. So try to explain that Joshua will be the correct and the most correct rendition of the name of Jesus. And we said that the power is not merely in the name. The power is in the faith behind the person of the name. The power is behind knowing the authority that the bearer of the name has, and knowing that that authority has been committed into your hand as a child of God. We used a number of illustrations to explain this. We read from Esther how that the king, Ahasuerus, gave Esther his name and told him to write whatever it is she wants. And Esther filled in what she wanted, and the letter was carried out. And even though the king does not know what is contained in the letter, people who received the letter did exactly what Esther wrote in that letter. And it got to a point, after he heard all that has been happening, he was like, Queen Esther, what have you been doing with my name? So when the name is gone forth, the name performs what it has been sent to do. Glory to Jesus. And we must understand this as God's children. That God, just like the king gave Esther his name, God also has given us his name. Jesus has given us the name of Jesus so that we can make demand on the devil, on life, on God. And when we make demand on any of these things or these personalities, when they read what we are saying, when they hear what we are saying, backed up by that name, what they are seeing is Jesus and not us. We need to understand that very clearly. So when you go to the Father in the name of Jesus, when God looks at your request, he doesn't see your name. He sees a letter written to him by his son, Jesus, signed by him. So, and he will definitely honor his son. So when we pray, Father, we thank you because you always hear us. That's the same prayer Jesus offered. Father, I thank you because you always hear me. So when you write to the Father, irrespective of what your experience in prayer has been, you can know that you can thank him because he always hears you and he always does what you always do what you request. Glory to Jesus. So that is what we discussed last week. We can also liken it to a police officer who is wearing a uniform and, you know, he's going to stand in the middle of the road and stretch his hand to this big vehicle coming. And that vehicle does not need to like the face of this policeman. But because this policeman is wearing a uniform that belongs to a country, belongs to the entire Nigeria police force, this truck driver, we have to wait, you know. The driver, we have to wait because the respect is not for the person. The respect is for the uniform. That's the way it is for the name of Jesus. Also, that's a similar explanation. That when people look at you, the respect they give you, the respect they give your orders, their response to your order is not because they like your face, but because you are carrying something. When they look at you, they are not seeing your face or your color or your attitude or your behavior. What they are seeing is that uniform you are wearing, which is the name of Jesus. And they know that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess and bow before him and say, Jesus, you are Lord. I will do whatever it is you command. You know, they will have to bow when they see you carrying that uniform of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So today we'll be talking about prayer and faith, which is just like a continuation of last week's teaching. And faith is very important in the Christian faith. We need to know this. Many Christians do not know this, and they prioritize some things that are less important with God. In the Old Testament, there are priorities. In the Old Testament, God's priority was obedience. God's priority was obedience. If you obey me, you will enjoy life. If you disobey me, you will suffer. That's the summary of the Old Testament. Obey, enjoy, disobey, suffer. In the New Testament, it's a completely different outlook, completely different scope. It says, believe and be saved. Period. Don't believe and perish. You see? A completely change of attitude. Believe what my son has done for you. I'm not asking you to do a thing here. I'm saying believe what my son has done for you. And when you put your faith in him, that is all you are going to need. And this faith will begin to work in you and begin to work, produce righteousness, produce holiness, produce godliness, produce riches, produce joy, produce peace, produce long-suffering, produce endurance, produce love, because you have put your faith in my son. So we need to understand that faith is very important. In the earlier part of this teaching, we talked about faith and God's word, and we have said a lot of things about this, how that, you know, God was able to cope with the Israelites even when they disobeyed, but when they operated in unbelief, he said, I swore in my wrath that none of them will enter into my rest. You will see a lot of this in the book of Hebrews, where the Bible is talking about this. So faith is very important. Hebrews 11 verses, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can never give God pleasure without faith. If you like, roll on the ground. If you like, sing till tomorrow. If you like, dance and compose the most emotional song and sing for God. The Bible says, if your offering to God is not backed up by faith, it will make him happy. It will make him happy. Maybe sometimes later we'll talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the Bible says, but these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. You understand the place of faith. Faith is one of the strongest pillar in the kingdom of God. Extremely, extremely important. Glory to Jesus. So if you are going to give God pleasure, if your life will give God pleasure, you need to understand how faith works. And really, really, really have faith. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So the only way approved In the New Testament, for a Christian man to live is to live by faith. And this is just like an introduction to make you understand that faith is very, very important. If you miss those teachings, we had two-part teachings on faith and the Word of God. You can check our Telegram group and be able to listen to how we explained the importance of faith in God's Word. And again, today we're talking about how important faith is to prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, the Bible says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, it's easy to just quote that scripture and end there. He that is born of God overcomes the world. And then you go to pray. Ah, Father, I must overcome the world. I must overcome the world. Ah, I must overcome the world. You know, you could as well just sit down on a chair and be enjoying yourself. Get a glass of wine and just drink instead of wasting your time praying those kind of prayers. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, he that is born of God has overcome the world. Yes, that is the promise. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Faith is what overcomes. The way to overcome every challenge of life, to overcome everything in life, overcome sin, overcome the devil, overcome poverty, overcome sickness, overcome evil, overcome selfishness, is by faith. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. So as a matter of fact, prayer is futile without faith. If you are praying and faith is not included, your prayer is driving nowhere. Matthew chapter 14, the Bible told the story of Jesus walking on the water. And as he was walking on the water, the disciples saw him and they screamed, Jesus, who is this person? They didn't call him Jesus, as a matter of fact. They were like, who is this? Who is this? Jesus said, no, don't be afraid. I'm the one. You know, and Peter was like, the very forward one, said, if it's true that you are the one, and you always tell us that everything you do, we can do, tell me to also come and climb the water like you are climbing it, you know. And Jesus said, okay, no problem, come. And the Bible says Peter began to walk on the water. And in verse 30, the Bible says, when he saw the wind, you know, the wind boisterous, the wind was, the sea was in turbulence, you know, going up and down. The Bible says, Peter was afraid and immediately began to sink. As he began to sink, the Bible says he shouted for help. Lord, help me. Or Lord, save me. And the Bible says Jesus reached forth his hand and pulled him out. Many believers like to stay in the level of Lord, save me. And all of us may get to that place sometimes when we just seem completely helpless. It may happen that you get to that place where you can't just reach anything and then you say, Lord, save me. But dwelling in the realm of Lord, save me, Lord, help me, Lord, you know, is not where God wants us to be. Where God wants us to be is to live by faith, walk by faith, walk in the things that is finished, you know, not sinking to that level where we are always there begging and pleading for help. Praise the Lord. And you know, it was easy for Jesus to pull him up because Jesus was also in the flesh. The Lord save me prayer, Lord help me prayer, may not really help you much this time because Jesus is not in the flesh. Praise the Lord. So you see people who pray a lot and yet see little results because their prayer is not backed up by faith. And I'm not saying you should not ask God for help. Of course, we depend, if you are asking God for help because you are depending on Him to show that, Lord, I am depending and trusting in you. And of course, that is also faith. But not when you don't want to do anything, you don't want to believe anything, you just want God to come out of the blues and just do something for you. That is not correct. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So as a child of God, this faith is our way of life. We got saved by faith. The Bible calls that faith the faith of Jesus. Every believer has that capacity. We all have that faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible talks about, says we have obtained like precious faith. Glory to Jesus. One thing we want to do through this teaching is to ensure that our faith gets strengthened. Our faith comes alive. All of us need to hear messages on faith every now and then, because we also talk about it. Everything around us is trying to water down our faith. And it's important that every now and then we hear a message on faith. So the message of faith is not a message you can overhear. We need to keep on hearing it as many times as possible. Glory to Jesus. So want at the end of this teaching on faith, want your faith to have received capacity to begin to operate in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. So quickly, I'm going to be talking about what faith is. And that is what we are covering today. What is faith? So I have about 5 definitions here that will really explain to us what faith is and set us on that path to begin to use our faith. You have that faith and you need to put it to use. Number one, faith is a tool of the Spirit to receive what grace has given and have it. Faith is a tool of the Spirit to receive what grace has given and have it. Romans chapter 4 verse 16a, the Bible says, it is of faith, it is of grace, it is of faith that it may be of grace. To show us that faith and grace are inseparable. Faith, as a matter of fact, cannot produce what grace has not provided. And faith is the only way ordained of God for us to receive what grace have provided. Glory to Jesus. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world, okay, and what did he do? He gave his only begotten son, okay. Praise the Lord. John said, behold the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So the Lamb of God came, loved the world so much, took away the sin of the whole world. All taken. But then people are still going to hellfire and still perishing. Why? Because there's another clause that says, whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to Jesus. So grace has provided redemption for everybody. Nobody is going to hell for their sins anymore. Because Jesus, the Bible says, except the Bible is lying. John, he saw Jesus, he pointed his hand to him, he said, behold, see the Lamb of God, the one that takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the filthiest of sinners has been taken away. The sin you committed yesterday has been taken away. The sin you will commit tomorrow has been taken away. All taken away by Jesus. I mean, if you don't like to hear it, it's the truth. The Bible says it's the truth that will set you free. Religious people don't like hearing this, but that is the truth. The Bible says he has taken away the sins of the world. He has taken away the sickness of the world. He has taken away the poverty of the world. But the people are still poor. So grace is what God has provided. Faith is how you receive what God has provided. So millions will still be perishing today, not because Jesus did not take away their sins. Jesus did, but they failed to receive it. They failed to accept it. They failed to believe and receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 verse 24. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. The Bible says, and when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have it. As Christians, we need to understand that there is a difference between receiving and having. I'd like us to read that, please. Let me just read it directly from the Bible. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. If you have your Bibles, you can also turn with me. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. There is a place for receiving and there's a place of having. As God's children, we need to know this. When you pray, the first thing you must do is to receive that thing. After receiving that thing, that is when you have it. Some of us want to have it before we receive it. Hallelujah. Faith is how you receive and then you have. Glory to Jesus. So when you pray and say, Father, I need 1,000 naira. I need to do subscription on my phone. That is what I need. I need it today. And Lord, even if you cannot give me 1,000 naira, I just need data of it, about 1,000 naira on my phone. That's how you talk to God. Be clear. It's not, the money is not really what I need. What I need is data on my phone. And when you finish doing that, you say, Father, thank you because I know you have given me. Know what you have done, you have received it. Father, I thank you. You are a good father, good daddy, good God. You can't deny your son. You love him so much. And I know that you have given me what I have received, what I have requested. And while you are doing that, you have taken the burden off you and cast it on Jesus, because you know he cares for you, and you are going about your daily activity. You are happy. You are expecting it. And eventually somebody just calls you, hello, how are you? I just feel like giving you 1,000 naira data. And then you just send in the money and the money comes in. Glory to Jesus. When you truly receive, you thank him much more when you receive it than when you have it. Because at the time when you pray and you receive, you already have it. Glory to Jesus. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you. At the moment when you receive what God has given you, you are thankful. So much so that when that thing eventually becomes physical in your hand, you're not as even thankful as when you received it. And this is faith. So faith is the tool that you use to receive what grace has provided in the spirit. Everything God has given to us is in the spirit realm. So faith is what we use to translate what we have in the spiritual realm to the physical. Glory to Jesus. Number two, faith is believing God has done it, not God will do it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, he has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. God has given us everything. When Jesus was on that cross and he said, it is finished, he completed everything we will need. He provided everything we'll ever need. It's all provided. So you take your faith a step further when you know that what I am asking God is already provided. Hallelujah. All I just need is to go there and just pick it up. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says, by whose stripe you were healed. Not even by whose stripe you are healed. Isaiah chapter 15 verse 5, the Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. But in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. So it is already done. It is already settled. It is already completed. Everything you need is already given. So rather than bothering God and say, God, why have you not given me what I'm asking you? No. You go to thanking him and saying, Father, thank you because I know it is given. Thank you because it has been released. Thank you because that which I am asking for is already done. So faith goes beyond just like asking God and saying, God, save me from my sins. Or are you telling Jesus to go and die again for you on the cross of Calvary to save you from your sins? No. He has already done that. What you need to do today is to appropriate it and receive that free gift and apply it to your life. Hallelujah. And that's why we're talking about faith. To believe that it has been given, and then that is how you have. Glory to Jesus. Now, these are things that will really help you to start up in faith. To know that it has been given. To know that it has been done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. So when you know that this thing has been provided, accessing it will be different from when you are trying to get it. Praise the Lord. I hope you are getting it. Number three, faith is believing God can do it, and he can do it for me. Now, this is another aspect of faith that many people have a lot of challenge with. Everybody believes that God can raise the dead. Everybody believes God can provide 1 million cars. Yeah. Do you believe that God can provide us 20 cars before tomorrow? Everybody says, yes. Do you believe that God can give us a building under 24 hours? Yes. Do you believe that God can provide 100 million within 24 hours? Yes. You know, nobody asks, nobody limits how much God can do. Nobody has a limited understanding of the capacity of the abilities of God. Merely knowing that God can do something is not faith. Because some of us think that is faith, but that is not faith. Can God raise the dead? Yes, but that is not faith. Bible James said, even Satan believes and trembles. That is not faith. So knowing that God can do something is not faith. Even an unbeliever believes that there is nothing God cannot do. And they fight God for it. They be like, if God, God can kill all the bad people in one day. Now why did he not do it? God can, so person died. God can raise him up. Now why didn't he do it? They believe God can do anything. And if God, if time permits, we talk about the nature of God in subsequent teachings. Talk about, because we need to understand, when we say God is omnipotent, we need to understand what that means. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to not to go a step further, go beyond God can do it, to God can do it for me. You see, there are a lot of difference in this. Yes, God can provide 10 million cars, but can God provide you one car? Do you truly and truly believe that under 24 hours you need a new car and God can provide it? No. Ask yourself that question. That if I actually need a new car under 24 hours, do I truly, can I truly believe and be expectant to know that that car will come? Glory to Jesus. So you see that there's a big difference between what God can do and then what God can do for me. Even let's say you can believe God can provide you one car. Can you believe God can provide you 50 cars before tomorrow morning? As you be sincere with yourself. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. I don't have capacity. I don't have capacity for such belief. And we'll talk about that. I don't believe that. But that doesn't mean I don't believe God can do it. Yes, he can do it. But that he will do it for me, I'm sorry. I don't have that capacity to believe that. And you know, we need to understand this very simple thing. Because some of us just think that you can just pray and believe for anything, anyhow, without asking yourself for. And that is why we make all kinds of prayer. We ask God all kinds of things. Somebody will raise prayer points. Say, Father, before tomorrow, command everybody in the world to be blessing me. Please don't pray. And don't pray, don't ask God things you do not believe. Do you actually believe that everybody in the world can be blessing you? I said, don't you ever raise a prayer to God and ask God for something you don't believe you can do. That's why I don't have a lot of prayer points. Because, you know, some of us really like prayer points. I don't know. And all these prayer points are just revolving around the same point. Prayer point one. Lord, I want breakthrough in every area of my life. Prayer point two. Lord, I want favor in every aspect of my life. Prayer point three. Lord, I want open doors in every area of my life. Prayer point four. Lord, I want what else? I want supernatural manifestation. You know, many of these prayer points all looking similar. And you just like to pray them one after the other. And you finish praying those kind of prayers, tomorrow you are going to repeat the same set of prayers again because you didn't really believe you are praying it. So we have this mindset that, let me ask God everything, I don't really want God to answer. No, that is not correct. When you ask God for anything, expect him to answer. Don't bug yourself asking him for too many things and you don't believe for any of it. If you are asking God for something, then better believe he's going to do it. Otherwise, you train your heart in unbelief. So that on a day when you really need that one thing, you have not exercised your mind to receive something from God. So you need to exercise yourself. Don't be carried away praying all kinds of, or offering millions of prayers. No. There are some prayers you say, there are some things you speak. You know, when it comes to questioning God, God's grace will talk about prayer and persistence. And we explain the place of persistence in prayer. And you can actually be dealing with a lot of things in prayer. But that is different from petitioning God. Hallelujah. So don't ask things carelessly. Don't ask for things you don't believe. Ask God only for things you believe He will do. Let me just use as an example. For long, I never did ask God for a car. Because I didn't have capacity for a faith to receive a car. For long. I just didn't see that as... That was not just... It never strolled into my prayer point. If I ever mentioned a car to God in prayer, I could have just been, God, you know, I don't mind though. I don't mind to have a car. You know. But in reality, I never did for once petition God for a car. But a time came in my life when my heart was ready. I didn't have money. I still didn't have money. But a time came in my life, I and my wife, we looked at ourselves. We said, now we need a car. And that very day, we had this just one prayer. And we just talked to our father. And said, Father, we need a car. We told him specifically when we need the car. I said, God, this, we are in October. For so and so and so reason, I want this car in March. Now, I want this car in February. I don't know how to drive yet, so I'm going to learn how to drive in March against what I'm preparing for in April. And that is what we prayed for. We said that small prayer, and then that was all. Never did say another prayer on that matter. And I tell you, because the prayer was said with capacity, with, you know, with faith. Within that October and February, all the money needed for that car was complete. And at the time I was asking, there was nothing. Praise the Lord. And 2 weeks into March, the car was bought. March the 14th of that year. What am I trying to say? We must not be careless. We must not pray and ask God things carelessly. That is why we pray all kinds of prayers. Don't ask God for something you are not sure He will give you. Ask what you really believe for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So majority of believers do not have a problem believing that God can do all things. Just like the leper in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. He said, Lord, if you will, make me whole. So his problem was not if Jesus can heal him. His problem was if it was his will to heal him. And we have that problem very seriously. Many of us are ignorant of what God's will is concerning our lives. We are in doubt. We are not sure. You need a car, but you don't know if God will give you. And you know you need that car. And you forgot there is a promise in the Word of God that says He will supply you all your needs according to His riches. So while you are asking Him for the car, you don't really believe He's going to give you. You don't really believe He wants to give you, and that's the problem. You are like, I don't know, maybe God may not want to give me yet, because, you know, if God should give me a car now, it may be the car that will kill me. You know, we have all this kind of mindset that limits our prayer, limits our faith. So you just want to ask God everything and say, God, pick the one you want to answer me out of everything. But that's not correct. When you're asking God for something, you must believe that He's going to give you. Bible says, Ephesians 5 verse 17, it says, we must not be ignorant, but understanding what the will of God is. You must understand God's will and purpose for your life. You must understand what God wants to give you. You must understand that God is willing to give you. John 16 verse 27, the Bible says, the Father loves you. The Father wants to give you. God As in, we approach God as if we approach God as if we are going to a father that we need to plead and beg for it before he gives us something. And I said that, I think, 2 weeks ago, that you don't beg God for anything because he himself wants to give you. He himself wants to beg you to collect it, because the Bible says he, the eyes of God is going to and fro of the earth. He's looking for people with whom he will reveal his glory. God himself wants to manifest his glory through you. He wants to manifest his glory through your life. God is looking for people he wants to bless. God is looking for people with whom he wants to display his riches, display his glory, display his splendor, display his beauty, display his holiness, display his majesty. So when you come and say, God, I need, you say, yes, I'm ready to give you. You must see God in that light, otherwise your faith will continually be weak. Before even asking God, you are already saying, God, if you will. That's not a way to approach God. You can't approach God if you will, because the word of God is there for you to know what the will of God is. You are sick and you are still saying, God, if you will, heal me. Ha. After he went to the cross and took several, his flesh was spilled and bruised because of your healing, you are still saying, God, if you will, heal me. And many people remain in sickness because they are unsure of what the will of God is. They know God can heal, but they don't believe that God can heal them. They know God can heal them, but they know that God is not willing to heal them yet. No. By God's grace, when we talk about faith and patience, we create this balance. You must understand this very emphatically. You must know the will of God and know that God loves you and is willing to bless you and is willing to give you what you ask. And he's not going to say no to you. You see, when you ask God for something, you either say yes or no or wait a little. But these things are not scriptural. I always ask people, how many people came to Jesus and asked for something? And Jesus said no to them. I said, no, I'm not giving you. How many of his children did he say no to for the things that they asked? How many? Usually for all these common things. How many people came to Jesus for healing? And Jesus said, no, I won't heal you. No, it is God's will to heal, God's will to bless, God's will to prosper. You don't need a revelation from heaven to know these things. As long as you are not covetous, the only reason why God may not answer you is if you are covetous, and a covetous man we ask for things foolishly. But we have a promise that God will supply us all our needs according to his riches. And he will even give us more than our needs. Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, Jesus was speaking. He said, look at the lilies of the field. He said, they don't walk. They don't stress themselves. And yet, God beautifies them. God clothes them. He said, God takes time to make them look beautiful. See, if God can do this for ordinary flower, if God can take his time to ensure a flower looks beautiful, how much more you? Do you think God wants your life to continue to be shameful? Do you think God is glorified when you don't look beautiful? When that same God can spend a lot of energy trying to beautify the life of a flower, and yet you are like, no, it is God's will for me to continue in this sorrow. God is glorified as I'm suffering. No. Not correct. Let me just quickly make this statement. Then maybe subsequently we'll talk about it later. The only suffering ordained of God for God's children is persecution. I'm going to say that again. A child of God is insured from every suffering. But there is only one suffering you don't have insurance from. It is persecution. And persecution is not trials. Persecutions are suffering because you chose Jesus. Persecution is people or circumstances tormenting you or afflicting you or cheating you or trying to kill you or even eventually kill you because of your faith. Not Fulani headsmen coming to kill you. That's not persecution. Praise the living Jesus. Or robbers coming to your house and stealing your property and you say, I'm persecuted for the righteous. No, that's not persecution. Satan has just stolen from you. And the Bible says, when you are persecuted, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So, persecution is not a negative. Hallelujah. But every other suffering, apart from persecution, God, Jesus paid for that. He paid for it in full. So I don't know what it is that Satan has been afflicting your life with today. And you are still sitting at the valley of God is not yet ready to do it. When he's ready, I know he will do it. Everything is in God's time. I'm waiting. God's time is the best. And I believe God's time is the best, truly. But there are some things that does not respect that principle. Because if Jesus was truly alive and you went to him and you say, Father, this leg is paining me and I want you to heal it. Jesus will not say, wait for a little. I want you to suffer it for 3 more years and then I will heal it. No. Jesus will heal it immediately. Or you needed money to pay some bills. Or you needed some things. And you're like, God is not yet. No. God is willing. You must meditate on God's word that says God is willing to bless you. Meditate on it until it becomes life to you. And understand the will of God. You must not be ignorant of what the will of God is. You must understand that he loves you. He will never afflict you just to train you. God doesn't do that. I've met people that say, I know myself. I know the way God deals with me. Any small thing like this, he will have spanked me. Baka! And yes, God chastises his children. But I always tell people, if you want to know how God disciplines his children, don't look too far. Just look at how Jesus disciplined his disciples. If you want to know how God disciplines his children, then look at how Jesus disciplined his disciples. Did he afflict them with sickness and say, Peter, you are very stubborn. You never listen. Because of this, you are going to have malaria for 3 weeks so that you can learn not to be forward. Thomas, you operate in unbelief. Because of that, I will make sure you don't get your school fees. No, God doesn't do that. How did Jesus discipline his disciples? These are the set of people that will represent him in the world when he's gone. This is the only hope he has. These are the only set of people that he has. How did he discipline them? How did he rebuke them? How did he chastise them? By his word. Glory to Jesus. I think I'm digressing already. But I think we need to know this because many Christians, they suffer thinking God is taking them through a discipline. God is taking through them a training, so they remain in suffering. God's way of training his children is his word. The Bible says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. The way he sanctified his disciples was by his word, not by suffering, not by sickness, not by poverty. Except you're a disobedient child. You know, disobedient children, they have their own path. It says if you're disobedient, like the prodigal son will eventually have to learn the hard way, but it was not God, it was not his father that made him lose all his properties and begin to eat with the pigs. No, it was life circumstances that put him in that fix. But some of us, we go our own way and then land in trouble and then say it is God that is punishing me. No, that's not God's nature. That's not your father's nature. The father's nature is 5 years waiting and calling and say, son, when are you coming to man? On that fateful day, when you show up at the gates of his house, he sees you afar off and run to hug you and say, my son is back. My son is back. My son is back. And can't stop hugging you and kissing you. My son is back. My son is back home. I'm so happy. It's not the one running after you and punishing you every place so that you will come back home. No, that is not God's nature. Hallelujah. So we need to understand the nature of our Father. And this will really help us to receive from him. This will really help us to ask things from him and believe that he will do it for me. He will do it for me. I know he can do it, yes, but I also know that he loves me and he will do it for me. Number four. Faith is God transferring the responsibility of your answered prayers to you. Faith is God transferring the responsibility of your answered prayer to you. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 and 20. The disciples struggled to heal a child that was demon possessed. They struggled. There was no result. So Jesus appeared, coming from the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were like, and the man came to Jesus, Jesus, your disciples, they tried to heal this man, but they couldn't. Jesus was angry. He said, what is wrong with you people? How long will I continue to train you? That is rebuke. That is chastisement. Imagine how they will feel among the crowd. God spanking them. Jesus spanking them like that. Oh, you faithless and adulterous generation. How long will I continue to put up with your faithlessness? Bring the child to me. And they brought the child to him and he sent the demon out immediately. And then after that happened, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you are using their hand to scratch your head. Jesus, sorry about that time. Yeah, sorry. But you know, we tried though. We really tried. But why is it that we could not do it? Jesus responded in verse 20. He said, because of your unbelief. So I'd like to ask you, that thing you have been asking God, why have you not received it? Yes, you have prayed. Yes, you have toiled. You have fasted. You have cried. You have wept. You have done all kinds of things. You know, in fact, you have had faith, self. So then you ask Jesus, Jesus, why couldn't I get what I want? The response is the same. Because of your unbelief. Because God has given us faith and by so transferred the responsibility of our answered prayers into our hands. Acts chapter 3. Let's take Acts chapter 3. I'd like us, if you have your Bible and you're listening, please come to that place. Very powerful scripture too. That buttresses this point. Because we need to know this. And this should help us to take responsibility and be violent. Acts 3 verse 16. So, the earlier verse of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they healed the lame man at the beautiful gate. And I started reading from here last week, where Peter told the layman, he said, silver and gold I don't have. What I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was still looking at them. And they pulled him up. And the Bible says he stood up, jumping and leaping, walking and leaping and praising God. Okay, so when that happened, everybody was looking at them. Say, wow, strange thing has happened today. The gods have visited us. Then Peter began to address them. Then when he got to verse 16, he said something. Okay. Earlier in verse. In verse 12, Peter said, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. Okay. So it was like, you people are thinking that we made this man walk by our own power or by our own holiness or by our own godliness. So for many of us who always approach God with our godliness, you ask God for something because you have been paying your tithe. That gives you confidence. You ask God for money. I'm sorry for you. You are operating in the Old Testament. You are operating in the Old Testament. And that's not correct. Praise the Lord. Okay. Maybe if time permits, we also talk about all of this. When you ask things from God, you ask in the name of Jesus, not in the name of your tithe. You see it here. Peter said, it is not by our power or by our godliness that we have made this man walk. So you never try to do anything in the name of your godliness. Now, in verse 16, he said, he's now telling them how they made the man walk. Please listen. If you have your Bible, please read with me. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now listen. Peter and John just healed a man. And then he noticed they were looking at them like, ah, you people have done it. Then he told them, we did not do this. Please listen to this. We did not do this by our power. We did not do this by our power. And a regular Christian who just healed the sick or raised a lame man would have said, we didn't heal this man, Jesus healed him. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what a Christian will say. It is not me, oh, it is Jesus. And that is correct. It is Jesus. But Jesus did not come down to heal the man. How did the man get healed? Peter had the right answer. We need to understand this. That the responsibility of seeing a miracle is not in the hands of Jesus. It's in our hands. So instead of Peter to say that we did not heal him, Jesus healed him. See what he said. He said, and his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong. Can you see that? Yes, the name of Jesus healed the man, but not just his name. But faith in his name made this happen. So you see, what will determine whether you see your results or not is your faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. Faith in the power of Jesus. So rather than plead with God and beg God and then disturb God and cry on God and say, God, where will you answer my prayer? He says, true faith in his name has made this man walk. Hallelujah. So it is still the power of God. People will still give glory to God and not to you. But you are the one with the letter that carries the name of Jesus. You are the one that will write in it what you want. You are the one to write in that letter what you want. You are the one to submit that letter to whomever is meant to receive it and get your results. God will not do that for you. You have to do that. Probably next week I'll begin to share some other testimonies on how I started using my faith and how you should also start and begin to use your faith. You must start from small things. Begin to put your faith to use. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I've not gotten anywhere. I'm also in the making. Hallelujah. But we must engage our faith. I also need a message like this often, so that we can apply this to our lives and we become unstoppable and we can overcome every of life challenges. We are not meant to live in challenge. We are not meant to live in pain, in sickness, in trouble, in sorrow. When we have faith and we have the name of Jesus, he says, how did we heal this man? A Christian would have said, Jesus did it. But no, he didn't say Jesus did it. Because Jesus will never come down and do it. Because when you say Jesus did it, what about that other man that is sick? Why did Jesus not heal him? What about that man that is sick? Why did Jesus not heal him? So Peter is saying, yes, Jesus did it, but we are the ones who activated his name and faith in his name to make this man healed. So you see, faith is God transferring the responsibility of your answered prayers to you. It's now in your hands to get your result. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Number five, and the last. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith does not bring evidence. Faith itself is the evidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Faith is the evidence you need. Faith is not the one that brings the evidence. Faith itself is the evidence. Faith is in the receiving, not in the having. Hallelujah. That's why faith and God's word are inseparable. Take for example, a man writes you a check of 1 million and hands it over to you. Signed it, filled it, writes everything. Go and cash this money. It's yours. Immediately you receive that check, you start rejoicing. You are happy. You know this man probably is Dangote that gave you that check. You know Dangote is his net worth is in billions of dollars. So writing you a check of just 5 million, you know you are completely sure that he has the money. So when that check reaches your hand and your name is filled on it, your joy has begun. Even though the money has not yet come, you are already happy. Why? Because faith has been activated. Because that check in your hand is your faith in your hand. So now you are going to walk up to the cashier, enter into the bank and give them the check and tell them to credit that money to your account or give you the cash of that money you are going with it. And the cashier takes the check and looks at it and says, "We are sorry, we cannot give you the money." Then some of us will take that check and go back and meet Dangote and say, "Dangote, you gave me a check, the check did not work." That's not correct, because you know he signed the check. Everything was written. His name is written. Everything is written. It was signed. Your name was written. The amount was written. You are sure the money is in the account. And the cashier is telling you he can't pay you. Instead of you to stay there and say, "Mr. Cashier, I hope you are all right," and make a demand. Ask them, "Where is the manager of this place?" And make a show until they produce what they are meant to give you. Some of us will be going back crying and weeping. And that's the attitude we are meant to have. Because Satan is a bully. Sometimes you tender your faith and then it looks like the matter is not moving. You don't go back to God crying. You go there and demand for what you need. You demand for it until you see it. You make that demand. You make that fight. You become violent in your spirit. Become angry in your spirit. Some of us don't know what anger is meant for. Anger is not meant to be used against human beings. No. Anger is a God-given ability. Satan did not invent anger. Anger is of God, but anger is not meant to be used against human beings. It's not meant to be used for selfish reasons. Anger is meant to be used against the devil and all of his works. So when you carry your title deed that says this property belongs to you, and then you go there and then you see somebody building blocks on it, you need to find the nearest hammer and break all the blocks. I have evidence, I have certificate of occupancy that this land belongs to me, and somebody is trying to build on it. You go there and break the house. You go there and destroy everything. You go and report to the police. You go and bring soldiers. Send them away. You take them to the court if you have to. Why? Because you must take possession of what belongs to you. You don't go back to the seller and say, "Seller, how far? What happened?" No, you already have in your hand the certificate of occupancy, the COO, that this belongs to you. That is your faith. Faith is evidence. Faith is your evidence. So when that sickness refuses to go, you stand in faith. When that problem refuses to go, you stand in faith and fight. Years ago, when I was struggling with operating in divine health, today operating divine health is almost natural for me. I don't even pray about my health anymore. I'm just healthy. If I feel weak, I just eat and sleep, and then I'm good. But back in the days when I had to struggle, I remember that there was a time I was feeling extremely feverish, and I started running. By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I may not feel it, I may not see it, but I am healed. Jesus says, "I'm healed." I kept on running around. You know what I was trying to do? I was taking possession of what belongs to me. I was breaking every hindrance. I was refusing to pay attention to what the physical is saying. I'm believing what the spiritual is saying. Fight a good fight of faith. So another time I had a runny nose, and you know, a friend at work was telling me, "Tommy, you seem to have runny nose." I said, "No, I don't." "So I can see that your nose is different." I said, "No, I don't." Standing and fighting in faith. I look like a madman, like something is wrong with my head, but I know what I was talking about. I was speaking those that be not as though they were. That is faith. And that is how result comes. You must stand and fight. By God's grace, next week we talk more about this. You must be violent with your words. You must be valiant even with people. Never allow any false word to sink in your life. Never allow it. Never allow it. Never allow people to speak rubbish over your life. Stand and defend. Just yesterday, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, we were doing a casting, and I had this testimony that rain does not disturb me when I'm doing concrete work. That has been my testimony for years. I've been into construction. So 2 days ago, we started the casting 3 days ago. Oh, the sky was cloudy the very first day, no rain. Second day, the sky was cloudy, but this time it became very thick. And the other man, an engineer that brought the machine and the workers, he told me that he was saying in passing that this rain is going to fall. And at first I was silent, but then my spirit wouldn't let me be silent because that is an assault on my faith. So I responded. I said, the rain cannot try it. That's why I responded. I said, the rain can't try it. And you know, about 15 minutes later, it began to drizzle. But because I had spoken the word, I was not even bothered. I was not concerned. And in less than 5 to 10 minutes, it drizzled and then pow, the sun came out. And there was no rain again until we finished. You must be violent with your faith. Don't let things just speak over your life and just go. Somebody is just talking in your leg, and he's saying, everybody, there's people, anybody can die at any time. Say, me, I cannot die. Be violent about, don't allow those words to sink. That is how to stand and refuse the devil from taking away your evidence. You must stand and fight and raise your evidence up always. I have the word of God. I know what it says about me. I'm going to have whatever it is the word of God says. You must be violent. There was a story of a man of God who wanted to go and preach. I think it was Kenneth Copeland or thereabouts. He wanted to go and preach. And they were waiting for him at the venue. And he was sick at home. He could not stand up. You know. And he said he had to open his Bible again. Go to Isaiah 53 verse 5. And begin to read. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes. I mean, he said that about 500 times. Kai. And after 500 times, pa, the power broke out and then he was healed immediately. The sickness was broken. So you see, sometimes the devil will want to act like a bully and want to ensure that you don't get what is written on your title deed. You don't get what is written on your check. Though your alert is showing that you have 1 million naira, you go to bank and the cashier doesn't want to release your money. You stand and fight. You stand and be violent and say, give to me what belongs to me. You don't go to bothering God. You stand in faith and receive what God has provided for you. And I pray as you do, you have your testimony in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. We just speak to God right now and just tell him, thank him for the word you have received. I don't know that thing that you have been trusting God for that has lingered and has not gone. Are you willing to take it back from the devil now? Begin to speak and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you must obey that name. Release that which belongs to me. Release that. I don't know if you have a sickness in your body. I believe you can be healed right now, right now, right now, right now. I strongly believe you can be healed right now. Place your hand on that part of your body and say, in the name of Jesus, you cannot remain. Jesus has paid for this sickness. You cannot cheat me. I have the title deed. I have my faith. And I'm going to believe that this sickness is going right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Next week again, by God's grace, we will continue speaking about faith. There is so much more to learn about faith and how you and I can operate in faith, increase our faith and operate more and enjoy God's gifts and the things that God has provided for us. Thank you very much. God bless you and see you next week.
Just wave your hands with me, y'all.